Rightio, here we are again. Now I want to continue talking to you. We started talking last week about faith dynamics. We want to take that a little further tonight. But I want to tell you this little story quickly at the beginning to use it as an illustration. You all know about the Holocaust and what happened in war times with the Jewish people and how they were badly treated by the advancing armies that came across Europe and so forth. And I read this little story, and I really wanted to share it with you. And it was about a Jewish family in France, and they were hidden by some Jewish people who were concerned about what was happening around about the area where they lived, and they hid this family in the basement of their house. The Jewish family waited and waited and waited and waited and waited and waited for their deliverance, but it never seemed to come. And at the end of the war, when people went into the basement, they found this scribbled on the wall. This Jewish family had written this: "I believe in the sun even when it does not shine. I believe in love even when it is not given. I believe in God even when he is silent." Now that's faith. Faith hears the inaudible, sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and then receives the impossible. We have to be people of faith if we're going to be those who please God and operate in this day, because we live in a day when terrible things are happening, when things are happening all over the world. You've just heard on the news, I guess, in the last few days about these doctors from India and different places who are involved in blowing up places in Scotland and England, or trying to blow them up and so forth. And now one from the Gold Coast has been arrested also, and they're talking to him about his involvement. And they found out, apparently, this is the latest news that I had, that it was set up that the bombs in London were going to be exploded by use of a mobile telephone from Australia. Interesting stuff. We live in these days. So we need to be people who can operate by faith. If you got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. I want to read a couple of verses to you there, and then we'll go along a little bit. Romans chapter 4, just a couple of verses quickly, 19 and 20. And then we'll read them from a couple of different versions, and then we'll go to Hebrews 11 and read some more. Now, Romans chapter 4, you find that? Like Fred Price says, say, "I have it." Okay. Romans chapter 4, verse 19. King James Bible says, speaking about Abraham, it says, "And being not weak in faith," that means he was strong in faith, "he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully persuaded that what he, that is God, had promised, he was able to perform." In verse 21, it says he was fully persuaded. Now, it's important, I think, that we are fully persuaded that God is able to do what he's promised to do. The Message Bible in verse 19 puts it this way: Abraham didn't focus on his own impetus and say it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child. Neither did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility and give up. He didn't tiptoe around God's promise, asking cautiously skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise and came up strong, ready for God. We need to just plunge into the Word of God and say, "Okay, God, you said it. I believe it. That's it. There's no debate about it." You've heard me preach many times, I guess, about the fact that there's nobody in heaven who's going up to God's throne and knocking on the side of the throne and saying, "God, it didn't work down there in Melbourne or wherever it is you happen to live." God is not into any debate, because Psalm 119 says, "The word is settled, forever settled in heavens." Psalm 119, verse 89. There's no discussion, no debate, it's settled. Nobody is saying it doesn't work in heaven, because it works wherever we will put it to work. Now, turn to Hebrews 11 with me, and we're going to read a couple more verses. Now, Hebrews 11, as you are aware, is known as the chapter of faith heroes, or the faith chapter. Hebrews 11, a couple of verses there again, Let's read verse 9 and 10. Hebrews 11, 9 and 10. King James, I'll read it to you. Now again, talking about Abraham, it says, "By faith he sojourned in a land of promise, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and with the heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city. He looked for a city whose foundations and whose builder and maker is God." Verse 11. "Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." Now, the Message Bible, I want to read it from the Message to you. This is what it says. Verse 8, Message Bible, Hebrews 11. "By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place and would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going." Now, I relate to that, because, and I guess Elizabeth can too, because we left Ireland and came to Australia, the other side of the world. We had no idea, although we had a paper that said Australia. We had no idea where we were going to go to. When we came here, we assumed and had planned that we were going to go into a hostel and live in a hostel until we got settled and all the rest of it. And right up, when we got off the boat at the pier down there, the dock, Elizabeth's sister and her husband, that's June, and Ron and the family that met us, we were ready to get on the bus to go to, I think it was Nunawading, if I remember, where the hostel was. And June said, "No, you're not going to a hostel, you're coming to live with us." And that was the first time we knew we were actually going to be living in someone's home. And it was quite interesting, we found, because Ron used to have a little Ford Consul car, one of those little square deals. And so it was June and Ron and their three kids, Elizabeth and I and our two kids, and luggage, all packed into this little Ford Consul to get back up to Sheargold Court, I think is where he lived at that time, over in Reservoir. But we didn't know where we're coming to, but we came to a country we didn't know, and it has been good to us, and we've been blessed by being here, and our lives have changed considerably by being in this place. Let me read this to you again. Verse 8 in the Message Bible, Hebrews 11. "By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him. He lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise." Verse 10. "Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with a real eternal foundation, the city designed and built by God." You have to keep your eye on what God is doing, irrespective of what's happening around about you. Now, we had this prayer request tonight. You heard there about Mary, who's gone into hospital with a serious attack from multiple sclerosis. And while they keep their eyes on that multiple sclerosis problem, it's going to be a problem.
Yes.
But if they can get their eyes off that, and I'll send this CD to Frank this week, if you get their eyes off that and get it back onto the Word of God, which says, "By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, Mary was healed." Amen. If they can begin to see it that way, things will begin to change. Now go back to Proverbs 17, a bit like Joshua tonight. We're doing a little bit of a move around in the Word of God. Proverbs 17. Find verse 24. Proverbs 17, verse 24. King James Bible says this. Just pulling a verse out here to explain what I'm talking about. It says, "Wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth." The Amplified says, "A man of understanding sets skillful and godly wisdom before his face, but the eyes of a self-confident fool are on the ends of the earth." The contemporary English version, that's the CEV it's known as, it says, "Anyone with wisdom knows what makes good sense, but fools can never make up their minds." Fools can never make up their minds. Now, that takes us back into James again, of course, James chapter 1, verse 6, 7, and 8, which says a man who's double-minded receives nothing from God. So if you can't be double-minded. You're either one or the other. You can't say, well, I'm believing God for this, but just in case that doesn't work, I'm going to make provision over here. Let me just look for another reference that's flashing into my mind, and it's in the book of Romans. Sorry, I can't give you the reference until I turn it up, because I won't remember it until I see it. And it's Romans, I believe, chapter 14. Romans 14:23. I'll just jot in there in your James 1:6-8. You can read that. Romans 14:23. And talking here about eating food and so forth. But it says this in verse 23. Romans 14:23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. So you can't be double-minded. Now let me make a statement to you. Whatever you say, okay? If you say, I have a pain in my head, in my toe, in wherever it is, whatever you say is your word of faith. If you say, my body may be saying I have a pain, but I believe God's word, which says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, I was healed. That's your word of faith. Amen. So whatever's coming out of your mouth is your word of faith. See, we have to take a stand sometimes, make a faith stand against some of these things. We don't always know where we're going, like it said about Abraham. We don't always know what the outcome's going to be. But Elizabeth and I, we've had to do that several times because we've moved once or twice in 43 years. I think we've had 27 homes. So we know a little bit about moving. Most times it's been profitable, but sometimes it hasn't always worked the way because we didn't really... I didn't listen enough to God, and I made a decision and said, let's do it. But we have to make a faith stand, and sometimes we just need to take a stand against the enemy in our lives. We just need to say, devil, you know, something like this. I've written down this. No more, devil. We're taking a faith step and a faith stand. We're going to stand for God. We're going to stand for the word of God. We're going to stand here, and we're going to stand on the word. You have no more influence in me, in my life, in my family, in my health, or in my finances in Jesus' name. You need to make draw a line in the sand almost and say, that's it, devil, no more, that you've had enough. I'm now standing against you. You're not going to come into my life anymore. You're not going to affect my family. You're not going to affect my children. You're not going to affect my finances. You need to take a bold stand and start to speak right words only. Because whatever words that you speak, that's going to be your word of faith. We don't need to look at the circumstances. Turn to the book of Matthew with me, if you would. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now, there's a few scriptures we look at. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, verse 30 and 31. Matthew 14, 30. And 31. I'm just pulling these out of well-known stories. You'll know the stories when we mention them. Time here when they're out on the boat and you know the story and they see Jesus coming walking on the waves toward them and they're afraid because they think it's a ghost or a specter. And in verse 30 it says, this is Peter who's just stepped out of the boat to walk on the word that Jesus gave him in the previous verse. Jesus said, come. And so he stepped out on the water, but he really stood on the word. And then it says, verse 29, when he walked on the water to go to Jesus, verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, Lord, save me. Verse 31. Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, think about that. He had faith to step out. He said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come. Jesus said, come. So he stepped out on the word come. Okay, that was the basis of his stepping out. He didn't walk on the water per se, although he did, but he stepped onto what Jesus said. He took Jesus at his word, just like you and I have to take Jesus at his word. He stepped out on the strength of that word, and he came out of the boat. He's walking now on the water, but he stops. And he starts to observe, hey, there's spray on my face. How come the waves are coming up around my waist? And he saw that the wind was blowing and the sea was boisterous. And he began to sink. What did he do? His word of faith became what's in his mind. And he's now seeing the circumstances. We need to make a choice. We're not going to look at the circumstances. Stop looking at the storm around you or anything that is contrary to God's word. Anything that is against the word of God. See, the circumstances may be true. It may be true. Somebody in this room tonight, when I was sitting over here listening to Russell taking the singing and praying about Mary, the Lord spoke to me and said, someone's been having a headache. I mean, a headache. Just a headache. No other description, just a headache. Now, it may be true that your body is telling you you have a headache. But the truth is, that headache went on the body of Jesus 2,000 years ago. So because he took it, you don't have to have it. So receive the revelation that your body will tell you lies. Don't listen to what your body says if you're believing the word of God. If you're going to listen to your body, go to the doctor. Don't be double-minded. Well, I believe I'm healed, but I've got the pain. You're either healed or you're acknowledging the pain. Some one of the two. You can't have it both ways. Remember your word of faith. Your body may be saying you've got diabetes or you've got cancer or you've got arthritis or whatever it is. But the Bible says, by the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, you were healed. He took it 2,000 years ago, so you don't have to have it. So don't acknowledge the body. Acknowledge the word of God. And you will grow in your faith as you decide to walk with God. Good Amos. Book of Amos. That's a good... I'll just put a few more up the top here for you. Amos. Getting plenty of scripture tonight. Good for you to see these, that they're in your Bible as well as in mine. Amos chapter 3. Amos 3 and verse 3. You find Amos... Keep looking, you'll find him yet. You find Joel, go a little bit to the right, and you'll be about there. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. This is what the King James Bible says. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now, these principles that I'm sharing with you, it doesn't just mean that God and you are walking together. It does mean that. Yes, that's true. But it's also true in business. If you're in business with someone, you have to be in agreement with them. It's also true in a marriage. If you're married to someone, you're going to have some form of agreement, because the principle is there. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Amplified Bible. Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed? The New Living Testament says this. I like some of these. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? The Message Bible says, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? Interesting stuff. So it works in a marriage, it works in a business, it'll work in your life and your relationship with God. See, if you're not... do you get what I'm saying to you? See, if you're not agreeing with God... You may say, yes, I agree, by stripes I was healed, but you're walking away from what God. You're not walking hand in hand with God. You've got to walk hand in hand with him. You've got to be led by the Spirit, and you've got to be that way. All right, let's go a little further. I wonder what you had for your afternoon or evening meal. We had a chicken, or I had a chicken sandwich today before we came out. I was hungry, and... You may remember Tanya, who's come here quite a few times. Tanya was doing it. She's going to China for Oxfam. Oxfam, is that right? And she has to raise $5,000 to go to, on a trip to China. And so she was at Bunnings today selling sausages and bread, hot dogs, I guess. And so we went down there and had a sausage for lunch to help her. So we bought a couple of hot dogs from her to get some money to her so she can go to China on this charity thing that she's doing. But by about 3:30 this afternoon, I was hungry again. The little sausage wrapped up in a bit of bread didn't seem to do a lot for me. So Elizabeth says, well, I got a couple of pieces of chicken that we ate yesterday, and we still got a couple of pieces left. She says, I'm going to heat some vegetables, and she did that. I said, I'll just have mine and a slice of bread. I'm a man. I don't eat vegetables very often. I do. I really love vegetables, but I just wanted a chicken sandwich today. So I had a chicken sandwich. When you feed your body with wholesome food, and it was sourdough bread I had, so don't worry. And when you feed your body with wholesome food, it produces a power. And that power is called strength. Or physical strength, if you like. So when you eat the right food, it's going to produce physical strength. Now, when you feed your spirit man with wholesome spirit food, it also produces a power. But it's called faith. So what are you feeding your spirit man? Now let me say this to you, and I say this with respect to all of you in this room tonight. The reason you come here on a Sunday night is not because you particularly like looking at me, and I know I'm handsome and all of that, but it's, you come for this. Yeah. You come because of this here. You're hungry for the Word of God. Now, listen to what I'm going to say to you. Some of you go to other churches. I spend a lot of time, and there's no condemnation, praise God. Romans chapter 8 still works. No condemnation to them who are in Christ and all the rest of it. But if you come here on a Sunday night and go somewhere else next Sunday morning and they drag the faith back out of you, you're not going to have much faith. I don't care where you go, but go somewhere that's going to add to what you're getting here. In other words, you've got to be taught the Word of God. It's not some person's idea, but what does the Bible actually say? See, there's so many books around today. Gemma showed me a book last week, and it is a quote-unquote faith book, and it caused her to think about something because the guy was saying something in the book. He was all faith here, but then he got over here. It wasn't so much faith. You see, you have to be very careful what you read. Because some of the stuff that you read will have a nice, sugary, faith-type coating on it, but then when you get into the bones of it, it's just downright unbelief. I've got books on my shelf. People give me books quite often. They say, oh, Norm, you should read this book. And after I've read about 3 pages, it goes up on the shelf. Because I think I'm not going to learn anything out of this, and Elizabeth will tell you and I'm hesitant to give the books away because I don't want anybody else to read them, because they're not going to get faith by reading them either. So what are we eating spiritually? Your spirit must be in agreement with God's word. Listen to me, otherwise you can't walk with him. You can't get fed the Word of God, build your spirit man up, and then go off somewhere else and get it dragged out of you again because you're gone from faith to unbelief. And it's only faith that pleases God. So I'm not telling you not to go to another church. I'm saying wherever you go, make sure you're getting fed the Word. Yes, that's the key to it. So it's not my responsibility to tell you where to go to church. You need to go where you're getting fed. And that's why some of you are coming here, because you're obviously not getting fed in some other places. But anyway, that's another evening's discussion. Go to Mark chapter 11. And I'm not being hard on you. I'm just trying to get some truth to you. Because Elizabeth and I have been doing this for a long time. Keith and Gemma and Russell too, I guess, for that matter, knows that we've been doing this. We've been very successful in doing it and raising up churches around the world and all the rest of it. And it's based on the fact that we believe God's word. I remember preaching one time for a man who's since gone on to be with the Lord. He was an older minister, and he used to have a church in Cheltenham. His name was Milton Greenslade. And Milton Greenslade was a good old pastor, but he suffered a lot with emphysema. And I'd been down there and I'd preach for him regularly, but and he'd take a coughing fit and he'd turn purple. And he'd almost, it was almost like he was having a seizure. And I'd have to stop preaching and go down and lay hands on him and get him breathing again, then go back to preaching. But I always remember him. He's a dear old guy. Well, he was, when I was preaching for him, he was old then. He was probably 70, I guess. But he's not so old today, really, now that I'm here, almost where he was. But I always remember this. We did a camp for him one time. And he stood up in front of about 60 or 80 people that were at the camp. He said, "I've never met anyone like Norm Campbell who had such a confidence in the Word of God." I mean, he'd been in ministry for many, many years. And yet here I was at that time, a younger man. But I just have a confidence in this book that it is the truth. Just like that lady said in her letter, Susan that sent that letter to us. It is infectious. It comes through. And if you sit under what we're teaching, you will find that you will start to say the things that we say. You start to apply these principles in situations that you come up against in your life, in your health, in your marriage, in your finances. You're suddenly, "Oh, I heard Norm say this and it'll come out," or "I heard Russell say this," or Joshua in that case, he was talking about giving tonight. So these things will keep coming up in your thinking. I always remember the English lady. Her husband and her like to dance. I can't remember their name right now. Pam. Yes, you know who I mean. Very, very English accent, this lady. And you guys would remember too. Pam and Ken used to live over Viewbank Way. And she used to always give testimonies. And I always remember this testimony. She had little children at the time, a little boy who didn't sleep very well. And she says, "I just put on one of Pastor Norm's tapes. And he goes to sleep immediately." And I took it as a compliment, but everyone laughed. They thought she was being funny, but she wasn't. She was just saying that the anointing was on the Word, and it brought the child into that place of sleeping. So what are you eating spiritually through the week? Are you feeding yourself on this Word every day? I mean, not just on a Sunday night or a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or wherever you may go, but are you feeding on it daily? Because this is life, and life more abundant. Mark 11, we got to. Did we get there? Okay, Mark 11, look for verse 24. Mark 11, 24. Now, you know the verse because you've heard me preach on it often, I'm sure. But in Mark 11 and 24, this is what it says. "Therefore," this is Jesus speaking, "I say unto you that what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them." Believe that you receive them. So believing is a key to receiving. What you believe, you will receive. Don Gossett, I think it was, wrote a book called What You Say Is What You Get. But the truth of it is, what you believe is what you get. If you can believe what the Word of God says, then you're going to get what the Word of God says. And it really is the key to just about everything in the Christian life. Just about everything. So when you say, "I believe, I receive." I mean, if we happen to pray for you, and we don't pray for a lot of folks these days, we'd rather teach them. Because I think it's better if you can get together with God and His Word and you get your healing. Just you and the Lord. You don't need me, really. And I've said that for years. Elizabeth used to get a bit cross with me when I'd say, "You don't need me." But it's true. I don't want people to depend on Norman. I want to get them back to the place where they're depending on God and God's Word, where they're receiving what He has to say. See, when you say, "I believe, I receive," something happens inside your spirit. I can't explain that, but I know this, that just the same way when you take that chicken sandwich I was talking about before and you start eating it, something happens in your digestive system automatically. I don't have to know how my body digests the food and puts some here and some there and some whatever, you know. I don't understand it. I don't even pretend to understand it. But I know this. When I begin to say, "I believe, I receive," my spirit man grabs a hold of that and begins to make it happen. I believe, I receive. Now, I experienced that personally just a few weeks ago. You may remember I told you about 3 weeks ago, I think it was. I got up on the Sunday morning and And my room was spinning around and I couldn't stand. And I spoke to Elizabeth and said, Elizabeth, the room's spinning. Pray for me. And she laid hands on me, prayed for me. And I was okay. And then I went to get up and the same thing again happened 3 times. And you know, all these thoughts are going through my mind. She's going to have to call a doctor. She's going to have to get an ambulance. But I'm fighting those back. I'm pushing them back and saying, I'm not receiving that. I believe I receive when she laid hands on me. And I said, okay, that's it. I'm getting up. I'm going to get in the shower. And of course, by the time I'd made my stand and had my wash and all the rest of it, I was fine. But you see, something happens when you begin to say, I believe I receive. Your system, your spiritual system, goes into action. See, it's what you need to do is feed on the Word of God and swallow those promises into your spirit, so that becomes spiritual power called faith. Amen. And it starts to operate, and as you do that, you begin to please God. You don't need to know how it works. You just need to know it works. It's not none of your business how it works. It works. Just accept it as God said it. Now, go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. All right. Now, I just want to... These are some things you need to start and swallow. Okay? You need to get this into your spirit, man. Colossians 12 and 13. Listen to what it says. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, you need to put this in your spirit, man. I believe I have already been rescued. You need to get that down inside, just like that chicken sandwich. You need to get that, I believe I have already been delivered. Now, your spirit man is beginning to work that through your spirit system. It's going to come out as faith, because it's only what you put in is going to come out. Let me give you another one. Deuteronomy. Oh, well, let's go to 1 Peter, seeing we're in the New Testament. You know the scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Listen to it. It says this. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Here's another one. Put this in. I believe I have already been healed. So let your spirit man chew on that for a while. Let it get down into you and begin to produce faith that pleases God. Now go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. You know the verses, I'm sure, when we just bring them out. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're just going to pick up verse 11 to 13. Deuteronomy 28. 11 to 13, this is what it says. Deuteronomy 28, verse 11. The Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in its season, and to bless the work of your hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Not a good verse for a mortgage broker, but anyway. Verse 13. Verse 13 says, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou shalt hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. So we're going to be the head and not the tail. So here's another gobstopper you need to put in. I believe that I have already being financially blessed with heaven's best. Now, you put that in, your spirit man's starting to work on that already. He's starting to chew that over and digest it, and it's going to come out as faith. When you have a financial need, you're going to remember that you've already made a statement. Now, you may have heard me say some of these things before or heard someone else say them before, and you may be saying to yourself tonight, well, that's fine, Norm. I think I'll try that. Let me tell you something. Don't bother. It won't work. If you try it, you're going to have to do it. It's not in the trying, it's in the doing. Things don't work if you try them. You have to actually do them. So we have to get down to doing and not just trying. If you do it, you just might as well not bother trying. If you're just going to try it, don't bother, because it's only in doing it. It's right words. When you speak right words, that'll be your word of faith. And as you speak it out, it'll start to happen. Remember, Jesus made a statement. I can't remember where it is, but he said this about, take up your cross and follow me. See, taking up your cross means this. We look on this as the cross of Calvary. But what it really means is this, where your will crosses his will. And you say, not my will, but yours.
Yes.
That's what that means. That's what it means to take up your cross. It's where you say, okay, God, you said it. That's it. I'm doing it. I'm not going to argue with it. Let me go to Matthew 26 and we'll finish there. Matthew 26. Praise the Lord. My goodness. Time flies when you're having fun. Matthew 26. Verse 44 and 45. Matthew 26, let me just write that one up. Verse 44 and 45. Matthew 26. It says that, speaking of Jesus, and he left them, verse 44, he left them and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same words. You know the story. It's where Jesus asked him to watch and pray, and he comes back and he finds him sleeping. And then it says, he cometh to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Verse. Let me read another one to you. And the point I wanted to make from that was he said the same words. Jesus said the same words in his prayer again. And through it all, the disciples, they just kept on sleeping. They missed the great opportunities to hear a prayer that would have been a blessing. Now go to chapter 24. Matthew 24 this time. And let me read again about the same verses. Now, this is a story where the man built his house and the flood came. And it says, verse 44, therefore be you ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord maketh ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? The Amplified Bible says, verse 44, you must also be ready, therefore, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is faithful? Who then is the faithful, thoughtful, and wise servant, whom the master put in charge of his household, to give to the others the food and supplies at the proper time? Listen to the New Living Bible. Verse 44. It says, you must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. Who then is faithful and sensible servant to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his household and feeding his family? If the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. So we need to be people then who are feeding others. There are people in your family. There are people in your street. There are people that you need to feed this word to. I mean, these simple little CDs that we put out, you need to take these and share them with other people and give them to them and feed them the word of God. Because as you feed it into them, what's going to happen is that word, when they can believe it and acknowledge it, it's going to go down into their spirit man, and it's going to start going around in the spirit man, and it's going to produce power, and that power is called faith, and they're going to have faith, and they're going to be able to believe God. And God is then going to say to you, well done, here's a reward for you. Now, we're all interested in rewards. Nobody's interested in, you know, the guy who didn't get anything and was all taken off him again. You know, the parable of the wise and unwise stewards and so forth. So we need to be people who in God's eyes are wise. And as we use the word of God wisely, day by day, don't depend on me or Ian or Joshua or whoever. Just don't depend on us to feed you. Start feeding yourself. Listen to the CDs. Chew these things over. Next week we'll have Joshua's message again on giving today, and this one that we're doing tonight will be on the CD. So you can get those. But I mean, don't just put them on the shelf and, you know, stack them up there. You'll end up, you know, I've got dozens of CDs on my shelf that people have given me and I've bought, and, you know, some of them I never listen to again. And but the problem with CDs is you can't wipe them like tapes and use them over unless you get ones that you can. So they stack up. So just take them and use them and bless people with them. All right, the guard time's gone. It's now, what's that, 20? Is that 10 to 7? Goodness me, time's missing. Ian, come and finish off for us, please.
Milton Greenstein, I must have been about all the meetings and different places. I remember, I'm sure it was Milton Greenstein.